Our reading this morning is a message from the elders of the Hopi Nation. Here is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid, who will try to hold on to the shore. They are being torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say, we must let go of the shore. Push off into the middle of the river and keep our heads above water. And I see who is there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment we do, our spiritual growth and journey come to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in sacred manner and in celebration, for we are the ones we have been waiting for.
Picture yourself floating down a river on a big rubber raft. The riverbed is just a few feet below you. If you look over the side of the raft, you can see pebbles shining up from the sand. The riverbanks are just a few feet away. You can almost reach out and touch the flowers growing at the river's edge. Lie back. Relax and go with the flow. Pillowed by a life jacket and by the raft that is carrying you down the river, you are part of the flow. You move with the current. The current moves you naturally. You are in harmony. You are on schedule. All you need will come to you in its own time. The right thought, the right word, the right action, inspiration, guidance, decisions, choices. The river will bring you to the right people, the right situations, the right events. All will come to you, and you will be where you need to be when you need to be there. Don't strain. Meanings will be clear in their own time. The river is moving on, and you are moving with it. Let go of timing. Trust. Good things will happen to you. They will come naturally. Go with the flow. Let your higher power take you wherever you need to be. Life is easy, effortless in the flow. Sometimes the flow carries you on swift moving waters. Trust that all is well. Things will work out. You will know if you need to set a boundary. Let your fears go. Breathe deeply. Invite peace to flow through your body. Even if you fall into the water, you are safe. You are wearing a life jacket. You are part of the flow. Sometimes we fight the flow by holding on to an overhanging branch or trying to paddle against the current. Surrender to the current. Set yourself free. Go with the flow. Set yourself free to receive all the good that is coming. Feel your desires. Let them go. Love people. Let them go. Feel peace. Feel gratitude. Trust that something or someone greater than yourself is caring for you. Let things happen. Go with the flow. Each time you accept, each time you let yourself be carried farther down the river. For today, there is beauty around you. There is beauty in you. There is meaning now. There is importance now. Feel the feelings of this moment. Be open to it all. Solve today's problems. When it's time for something to happen, it will. Absorb all the healing and love of this moment. Go with the flow. Embrace your life. Handle situations as they come. Everything you need will come to you. Relax and have some fun. Let yourself be fully alive in this moment. The present is enough. This moment is enough. All that is yours will come naturally in many ways. You will be brought to it, or it will be brought to you. For now, go with the flow. Tell me, do you resist or struggle against the flow? Do you struggle against changes? Or do you relax and go with it? After years of practicing yoga, meditation, even seminary, I feel as if I should be able to tell you that my answer is the latter, that I go with the flow. I wish I could tell you that. But more often than not, I find myself struggling mightily against that. Mightily against the unfamiliar tide, eager to paddle myself to something that I know, something that I recognize. And even if I'm not paddling to something that I can predict, I want to be paddling anyway, to be doing something to move myself. I think that I am probably not uncommon in this regard. Americans are raised to be hard workers, strivers. We value personal responsibility, solid effort. We fight against injustice. Resistance often to us seems like the right thing to do. But what does that mean, this independent, striver, resistant approach to a theology or a worldview that says we are interconnected and interdependent? What does this mean for a theology or a worldview that says we are not alone in this world? That what we do matters, yes. But we are not in charge. If we believe in a power, some power outside of ourselves, call it God, or call it this energetic pulse of the universe that flows through us, or call it the hand of our brother or our sister reaching out in the world. However we imagine the power in the universe, if we accept that we are not in charge, can we let go of the need to steer ourselves to safety, steer ourselves to shore? That Hopi prophecy says that when you push off into the middle of the river, you are to see who is there with you and celebrate. But check this out. This is not a prophecy about doing nothing. There is still an urgency in that prophecy. We are the ones we have been waiting for. The hour is now. And at the same time, they tell us to banish struggle from our attitude and our vocabulary into this flowing river around us, the work. The struggle, but it's not struggle, the work. Let's say the work that we are supposed to do, potentially, is to let go of the shore and flow with the river. Consider that we are co-creators with the universe, powerful, creative, productive. What we do matters. And at the same time, we are not in charge, co-creators with the universe. What if the real challenge for us, the real effort, is to take a deep breath, to relax our muscles, to let go of the overhanging branch, release the paddle, move away from the shore, and wade into the water. Sometimes, if we let go of the need to control, we make space for something potentially better along the way that we had not anticipated. I'll use myself as an example. In the weeks leading up to the end of my seminary training last spring, I became increasingly worried about the next thing. My internship was ending, and with it, my steady work, because work is important, and also my small stipend. On top of that, the student loans that I had deferred because I was a student would become due quickly. I needed a job. I wanted one that used the skills that I had been developing, one that recognized me as a religious professional. I wanted to work as a minister and to serve a Unitarian Universalist congregation. But I needed a job, and so I applied to all sorts of positions, some more suitable than others. People advised me that May was very late to be looking. All of the good jobs would be taken, and a sense of desperation set in. Picture me on my little raft, with my river obstructed by more and more rocks, and on the horizon, a waterfall. Uncertain, but I was certain that it would be disastrous. Who attempts a waterfall in nothing but a little raft? I scrambled for the shore, and lo and behold, the perfect job. It wasn't serving a congregation, that's okay, but it was still serving our Unitarian Universalist world. I convinced myself that this was the perfect job for me, and more importantly, that I was the perfect person for this job. There was a lot of attachment here to perfection. I twisted my resume into shape, and with the perfectly crafted cover letter, I sent it off into the world to claim my job. Maybe not my dream job, but new dream. But alas, since I am standing here in front of you, as your minister, you know that I did not get that job. Here's the thing. As soon as I stopped chasing this thing that I convinced myself was perfect and let myself be still in the moment and see what life had to offer, I was introduced to you, this delightful congregation with the kindest people, an opportunity to be the minister that I had trained to be. This, once I let myself go and stopped chasing after the thing that I tried to put in front of myself and move with the flow instead, this opportunity flowed to me. You are what happened when I stopped paddling and fighting against the tide and let my life unfold around me. One of my mentors told me when I first got here, we end up where we are supposed to be, when we are supposed to be there. I believe that to be true. This lesson to go with the flow is a difficult one for some of us. It's a difficult one for me. Fish, on the other hand. Fish get this naturally. They have this ability inscribed in their bodies. If you pay attention to a school of fish, you will notice the way that they appear telepathic about avoiding predators. Or the way goldfish will move towards people, even in a darkened room. There is this fishy sixth sense that allows the salmon to move against the currents as they make their spawning runs upstream. They all listen to the flow. Fish have a kind of full body flow antenna that is a network of microscopic hair cells, much like the hairs in our own inner ear. They detect minute changes in the water velocity and direction. Clumps of these cells, called neural mass, are on the surface of fish between their scales, others embedded inside their bodies. And what's remarkable about fish is that all 30,000 or so known bony fish species have this same configuration. And scientists are studying to figure out how that same hairy cell that listens to the flow works in humans. It exists in our inner ears, suggesting that we also can listen to the flow of the universe around us. The philosopher Lao Tzu, this is the quote in your order of service, says, "Life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Don't resist them. That only creates sorrow. Let reality be reality. Let things flow naturally forward in whatever way they will." That is good advice as we enter into a new year with all the twists and changes that it will bring. And it certainly has been useful advice to me this past year as I have adjusted to the changes in my life, spontaneous and natural. Some of them amazing blessings, and others of them not so much. I want to share something with you of one of these changes. I was recently diagnosed with stage 0 breast cancer. I want you to know that I feel fine, My prognosis is very, very good, stage zero. So we're fortunate that my doctors detected it very early. I will be undergoing some treatment over the next few weeks. I have a surgery scheduled for January, and after that, there will be a course of radiation. And I expect that throughout, I will be able to continue working. But if that changes, in big ways or small, but possibly in small ways, I'll be working with the board and the Committee on Ministry and also the Worship Committee to figure out how to continue the flow of congregational life without much upset. Because you are kind and generous, I have been anticipating that you will want to know what you can do to help. The truth is, I don't know right now what that is. All of my most immediate needs are met. I feel strong, I feel physically strong and spiritually strong. I feel prepared to let reality be reality, to let things flow naturally forward the way that they will. You might have noticed in your order of service that it says we are going to do a ritual. Some of you, I think, know that Margie is a Reiki practitioner. And so when I talk to the board about how the congregation could step forward in being a part of my healing, this idea of a ritual came forward. Margie asked if she could do this ritual. We've been talking a lot today about the flow of water and the flow of breath. This is a ritual about the flow of energy. And I think I will leave. I'm out of words, so I leave that to you. I'm hardly ever out of words, but.
So what I'd like us to do, I'm going to place my hands on Kimberly, and I want everyone else to come up and either touch her or touch the person next to her.
If they want to.
If you want to. And just in your own thoughts and mind, send her love and healing and positive energy. Life force, energy of positivity, energy of water, energy of love, energy of healing. We beseech you to be inside, above, below, in front of, behind, beside, on both sides of Kimberly as she goes through this little bit of resistance in her body. We pray for the life force to heal quickly and effortlessly, Kimberly Quinn Johnson, and to keep her spirit in the flow of this energy. May it be so. Amen.
I'm actually going to ask that you possibly remain standing and join me in our closing hymn, which is in your teal hymnal, 1064, Blue Boat Home. People use this song a lot to talk about the environment and our connection to the planet. And whenever I do youth work, this is a favorite for them. I don't know why this is a favorite for youth. But it's a favorite of mine because it reminds me, and I hope it reminds us, that we are supported by each other as we move along this blue boat. So 1064. Thank you. of relationships of many years' accumulation. It may mean the first encounter with a dark tragedy or radical illness, or the first quaffing of the cup of bitterness. It may mean the great discovery of the riches of another human heart and the revelation of the secret beauty of one's own. It may mean the beginning of a new kind of living because of marriage or graduation or one's first job. It may mean an encounter with God on the lonely road, or the hearing of one's name called by God high above the noise and din of the surrounding traffic. And when the call is answered, the life becomes invaded by small energies never before released, felt, or experienced. In whatever sense, this year is a new year for you. May the moment find you eager and unafraid, ready to take it by its hand with joy and with gratitude. May it be so.